Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bounce to the Ounce than any other podcast.
I mentioned Bounce to the Ounce, Luke Miller. Luke Miller, Luke and Pete Shaw, it's what we're doing. It's Monday, welcome. Yeah. I mentioned Bounce to the Ounce because that's that night, that viral video of that night where just everyone's on pills and they're dancing like crazy people and there's that scary, sweaty, bald man doing this going...
That is one of the most terrifying GIFs.
Yeah, he was interviewed quite recently on a
Lad
Bible or something, and he'd recently split with his missus. I think lost the kids, maybe, I don't know. And his mate gave him some sweet pill, Mary.
Oh, at the time he had
Mary,
done that.
Married David, mother of anal.
MDMA. I think there are slang words available that didn't exist as
Yeah, it's true.
But at the time, that had just happened, and he was on one. And what's he up to now?
He doesn't look well. He didn't look well then.
No, so, exactly, yeah.
I don't think good lighting improves that man.
No, I guess not.
He's very much, at his best, disco lighting or worse, I think it's fair to say.
I can imagine that's absolutely the case. There's some
Louis Van Gaal in a golf cart.
Yeah, exactly. There's some really, like, dark... There's a lot of darkness behind some of the GIFs you see knocking about, some of the viral things you see happening.
Mm.
A lot of them take place seemingly in some really almost like godforsaken nightclub in some provincial town somewhere or in a forest in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, it's a sort of... Look, it's I've never been to one, but I would like to see what it was like. You know, like when you're going around the West Way or something and you're sort of coming up to... Before you get above the buildings, effectively, on the overpasses.
Yeah. On the flyover, yeah.
On the flyover. You'll see in kind of like places like Tottenham, in places like kind of like near the West Way, you'll get like these kind of like dance sort of rave ups in sports halls that are just taped to lampposts and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're always like DJs I've never fucking heard of. And I'm like, this looks I bet this is brilliant.
So I accidentally went to one of those ones.
Right.
Years and years ago.
Red Stripes from a Fridge?
So basically it was, I couldn't tell you the exact details because it was in the middle of the night and we had been out. Mm. Yeah, this is in East London, not in the West Way. It was like, right, I don't know if it's the case now because I don't really go out very often, but back in the day, you felt a bit cheated because London would always be described as like a 24-hour city, but it wasn't really.
Mm, yeah.
They'd kick you out at like two.
So, yeah.
And so this had happened.
Yeah.
And we were in Shoreditch somewhere or Hackney or around there. And mate of mine was like, oh, we should find somewhere else to go. I was like, yeah, fine. So he made a couple of calls or whatever. So there's a place around here. And it had a name. I was like, yeah, great, right. We'll go there. Turned up and it was literally a sports hall with a bloke sat at a table outside it, charging people a fiver to get in.
Yeah.
It was weirdly lit. It was beers. I think it was even Red Stripe. I think you might be spot on.
Mm.
It was cans of beer in fridges and people just standing around and some terrible sound system because it's in a fucking sports hall. So it's like mental. And people just stood around. And I remember even then thinking, I'm just doing this for the sake of it, to be honest.
Yeah. There's no going through the motions here.
Nothing for me here, really. You know, I can't even climb the rope.
Yeah.
Or the club in front has been put back against the wall.
Come on, guys, let's play some quick cricket.
Or a bit of dodgeball, maybe.
Quick tennis. Short tennis.
British Bulldog.
Not in a sports hall, you hurt yourself.
Hurt no yourself way. Anyway, brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure there was a huge amount on offer there, but you're someone who likes to
trip the like fantastic.
No, you do. You like to seek out a night out.
Yeah.
You like to keep going, don't
I
you?
Like to keep going, yeah.
Yeah. Did you convince that kid and his dad to go out of you after they were trying to find that Harry Potter one?
Get your wand. Let's put our glad rugs on.
Yeah.
And let's go dancing. Come on.
Yeah. Do you remember, speaking of
restaurants? It's like a dog there.
I sound like
a doggy dog.
Do you know, like, a certain generation of cockney bloke will always start every sentence by going, oh, like that. I sound like that.
Oh,
yeah. And they say, so, for example, they also say, this is really one for the heads. So a normal, a non-cockney of that generation would say, for example, it's not as though I planned it now, is it? Right? As example.
Right.
They would say, it's not as though I planned it now, is it?
Now, is it?
That really, almost like a soft R to a W, almost like a Roy Hodgson, but not the full Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
That's something that particularly affects older cockney bloke. I don't know why. Anyway, what I was actually going to say was, speaking of red stripes in the fridge, do you remember going to Frog at Mean Fiddler in town? Did you ever go there?
Yes, I went to Frog at Mean Fiddler, yeah.
And they used to do, the fridges never used to work, first and foremost, and they used to do £4.50, even then, 15 years ago, £4.50 cans of red stripe was the only beer they sold. And
Scala, I remember, used to do that as well.
And I remember not having a problem with that at the time. Now I wouldn't go near it.
Yeah, Scala and Crimson Cross used to, Pop Stars, the gay indie night, used to drink a lot of cans of Red Stripe. And yeah, they were really expensive. They've always been very expensive. And yeah, go over to Hartlepool a couple of weekends ago, £2.50 for a Stella. Come on. Pint thereof. Lovely old job.
Do you still do that thing when you go up to a bar when you speak in a medieval way to the bar staff?
What,
do you still do that?
Barkeep. Yeah. I would like to be, I don't know how you say it.
Please beseech one with a flagon of defoaming. Do you still do that?
No. I never did that. There's very few times I would like people to know that what you say is not the case. But that's one of the occasions, I think.
I think there are fewer pure joys in the world than walking into your local pub and speaking to the landlord like a medieval baron. And doing some kind of thinly veiled sexist line towards the barmaid, calling them a
buxom,
serving wench.
Yeah, serving wench, milk fed.
Having a little trot down to the end of the bar
and
chatting to the fella who used to be in the SAS and having a lovely old time.
Yeah.
But these days, right, kids, they love the IPAs, mate. If you took today's youth, I'm thinking about producer Rory and his like, down to a bar in a venue, they'd be saying, before you could even pull a pint, they'd be saying, where's the Camden Pale?
Bruv, I dropped the Doom Bar down my drip. That's what I'd be saying. That's what they'd be saying.
But back in our day, it was just cans.
Just cans. Well, we've gone back to cans now, haven't we? It's the only thing actual illustrators get to do nowadays, sides of cans.
But it's been, cans has taken on something completely different now. It's become a thing, isn't it? Cans. We're going for cans. We're having cans.
Go for sips.
Was it when the Newcastle United takeover happened? Cans.
Cans, yeah. Cans in the square.
It used to just be beers.
It did used to be beers.
And now it's cans.
Now it's cans. But we used to have little mini little Belgian lagers, didn't we? In little bottles.
Oh, beer Alsace.
So little
stubbies.
So little actual liquid in those little bottles.
The first time I ever got drunk, beer Alsace.
Mm-hmm.
Available from, I'm going to say, Asda.
Yeah. Or France.
Stubby beers in green bottles. You can pop the pop the cap off. I was at a New Year's Eve party with the aforementioned Dave Watson. I mentioned him on the show before.
Yeah.
And his aunt and uncle had a house that was so big that you could just get, as a kid, you'd just get lost in it. Yeah. So they would vaguely know there was kids around and they'd be fine. Yeah. There's an adult somewhere. There's adults everywhere, you know? Yeah. All the beer was stashed outside. We just sort of snuck out there. Had a couple of stubbies.
But you assume that at that point, when you're a kid, you're just going to be absolutely leathered and your parents are going to know and stuff, so...
Yeah, I was paranoid, but my parents weren't there.
Oh, right. Okay.
He was just his parents.
But what about, you've got to drive your little car on.
And this old man was in the Navy.
Hello.
No, I was only about 14.
Right.
And we used to steal his old man's cigars and smoke them on the bottom of the garden.
Terrible behaviour.
And then we used to, have those parties, have those beers. But the thing is, I don't know about you, but for the first probably year of drinking beer, you don't really like it. It's a really quiet taste.
You've really got to work quite hard. Yeah. I just sort of think, like, you get to a certain age and presumably your dad's he's happy to just leave his beers out because no one's going to drink them, or his cigars. And then at some point, some little Torag starts drinking the beers and smoking the cigars. And you have to think about, in your own home, hiding loot, hiding booty from your son.
Yeah, and I think the cigar side of it did me a lot of favours long term.
Right.
Because it was my first experience of smoking, and it was obviously fucking disgusting.
Disgusting.
Like, even more disgusting than the cigarette, yeah. Obviously. So I never really wanted to go near it after that. And so it was easy.
My dad gets very upset nowadays when I go home and drink his Yakults. He's inexplicably...
Yeah, but you get one a day.
Inexplicably, in 2021, he is bang into his Yakults, and he's got them all in the fridge, and I can just polish off three or four at a time.
Well, you shouldn't be doing that.
Why?
Because they're seven for a week, and you buy a pack of seven, and they're yours for the week.
It's just a bit of yogurt, isn't it? It's just a bit of sugary yogurt.
Oh, I think there are many things that are problematic in this story. Like, your dad, presumably your dad doesn't think that he can just cover up a multitude of sins elsewhere by eating it, drinking a Yakult.
I think it's his COVID, he defeated COVID with it.
Is it pseudoscience, the Yakult? Is it like the old Gillian McKeith type stuff?
I think, I know that, you know, stomach bacteria is stomach bacteria, but how do any of the bacteria survive after the onslaught of actual stomach acid? Like, how does it kind of, like, get past that barrier? That's what I want
what
to know.
I don't know that, but what...
Email in someone.
Yeah, that'd be great. Clogs. We'll have some kind of a scientist listening.
Yeah.
What, I don't know the answer to that.
Is it quackery nonsense?
If I was Joe Rogan, I would make up an answer, but I'm not, so I don't know.
It would probably settle us. I think if you've got acid indigestion, which I do have, increasingly as I get older, I think drinking anything milky calms that down a little bit. So it probably makes you feel a little bit better because you're drinking just a sugary, sweet, milky drink.
Yeah. Mm. I remember when I worked at Asda, there was a complaint about our department that we were only reducing the Yakults a day before they went out of date. And the customer, I think, quite rightly said...
Say it's one a day.
You need to be reducing the pack of seven a week before. and we then changed our policy. That's the only thing I know
the
about
policy Yakults. Policy on Yakults.
Yeah,
not, yeah, but how many? You've only got a few days before they go out anyway.
Let me tell you something.
Seven days reduced. This guy's having... I've got you over a barrel, mate.
Well, listen, you're speaking to a pro here. At the end of every shift, so I'll be doing the 6 till 3 in the morning, or the 7 till 4, or sometimes I would do the late shift.
Why do they need a 6 till 7 till?
That's when the milk turns up, mate.
Just bring it in later. Grow up. You're just making everyone's life just that shit because you have to build it around sixes and sevens. Get fucked.
Nah, you're making...
If I'm in the supermarket before 12 o'clock and they're still stacking the shelves, I'm like, that's my own fault. I'm in a supermarket before 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Ridiculous.
No, but it's not about that, is it?
It is. Deliver the milk later.
They stack shelves all day. Yeah, they stack shelves all day anyway.
Deliver the milk later.
When I was the one getting up at 5:15, I'll probably agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. But trying to help you out here.
What I will say is
you love a boat in your mouth, you.
What I will say this is this. If you're doing the late shift, when you hit a certain time, so the shop closes at 8 p.m, 5, 6 p.m, you need to be getting the Whoops gun out.
The Whoops gun. Yeah.
And
there
it used to be a Whoops sticker.
Yeah.
And it would say, we accidentally reduced the price. Yeah. What it actually meant was, this is going to date tomorrow to sell it. You can't be doing that on the Yakults. They're a pack of seven. You have to have one a day.
Can you separate them out? Are you a seller?
You can't sell them separately. This is not a London-based corner shop. You can't sell multi-packs separately.
Cigarettes.
So anyway, the point was that you had to reduce it a week earlier. I was going to say, I don't know the answer to stomach bacteria, but what I do know is that the younger listeners here based in the UK might be surprised by this, but Pete, you'll back me up on this. There was a period of time when Gillian McKeith, mock TV doctor, was everywhere.
She was,
and then
yeah.
she was just gone.
Because it was, I mean, she just made it, she wasn't actually a doctor. She's been told she's not allowed to use the word doctor in any of her stuff.
Which I think is fair enough.
I think that is fair enough, yeah. She was just on the telly looking at Pooh. Like, it was fascinating, really, that we allowed her to get away with it for so long. She had good eatings, not the Pooh. She had good eatings for a long time, just pretending that she knew what she was talking about.
One could only have admiration, knowing how, you know, tangentially at least, how hard it is to get TV shows commissioned, that she was able to literally poke around in other people's actual poo on telly and it would get aired.
Yeah. And
we've got I'm a Celebrity now, haven't we? So we don't need to worry about that.
Yeah. Or I could present myself as a semen expert and just do the cum doctor.
Yeah.
On Channel 4.
I don't think that title needs work.
The Nick.
That title does need work.
Come down with me.
Yeah. Sorry, completely different.
I sip on semen.
No.
Till the cows come home. What? And then start work on theirs.
Yeah, and what kind of financial kind of remuneration would you like for this?
A lot of money, please.
You want percentage points on on the product? You want IP? You want IP?
I don't want any pay in there.
No, you... No. Do you want to be selling merch?
I want to be selling merch.
Presumably you need to set up some kind of farm to keep the product. Look, Julia McKee...
For all the problems, isn't
Julia McKee's descent from to where she... Whatever she's doing now. Yeah. I'll tell you in a minute.
She's an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, is she really?
Yeah, she's...
What a surprise.
She's demented.
Her TV career going off a cliff can be described by the following sentence. Julia McKee's advice was primarily alternative medicine without any scientific basis.
Yeah.
You're calling yourself a doctor... You're going to be labelled a prat.
Put them on the telly.
Yeah,
put them on the telly.
There was... I remember she got... there was a real gotcha on a, I want to say a chat show that wasn't even her show.
Right.
Where she was saying that she wouldn't advocate the eating of oily fish because you can get just as much
oil from the supermarket.
Oil from flax seeds. She was
right.
Saying.
Okay.
But what she had done is she had confused the amount per gram with the actual amount.
Right.
So a flax seed, in terms of percentage of the seed, is much higher in the oils you need than a slice of fish.
Yeah.
But then the other guy who was actually sensible on the show worked out how many flax seeds a person would need to eat per day to get the same amount as one fillet of fish.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking. It was something like a whole taxi full of flax seeds. He was like saying, you'll be dead.
Yeah.
You'll be dead.
She had no answer.
She just carried on poking through her poo.
Right.
And didn't say anything.
With the poo thing, was there ever a situation where someone had a real issue in that there was blood in their poo? I think it was just like shapes, smells, sounds, sights, and it wasn't really actual medical issues. You know what I mean? No. If there's blood in there,
she's not a doctor.
Is that dark blood? Is that new blood? Who knows? Yeah.
Well, great Twilight movies, by the way. Though, would you think it would make the cut if there was something seriously wrong? Because you know, Dr. Christian Jessop, who is a doctor,
right,
seems a little bit odd.
Who's that guy?
Odd looking fella, waxy face.
Christian
talks a lot about medical issues on telly, but is an actual doctor. He used to do a show, I think, called Embarrassing Illnesses.
Oh yes.
So, which to me, seems entirely absurd that even works as a show, and I'll tell you why. Right. Lots of people don't like going to the doctor anyway, right?
Right.
I went for my NHS health check last week because I'm over 40 now, sadly, but them's the facts.
Mm.
And you get tested, you get your blood done, you get your cholesterol, your blood pressure, all that good stuff.
Yep.
And what the nurse said to me was, this is for the silent killers, right? It's for the people who, for the ailments that don't really have any outward symptoms but can really knock you down dead without you knowing about it.
Mm.
So it's really important you come in for this every 5 years. And if we need to see you more frequently, we'll tell you. So I did that. It was fine. Some people don't like going to the doctor. The very idea that you have something so embarrassing wrong with you that you don't want to go to the doctor about it, but yet you'll somehow go on the telly, to me seems strange to say the least, but yet it happens.
And yet it happens. Yeah, you're probably right. Did you see that Dr. Christian Jessen, he got in trouble because he accused the ex-DUP leader, First Northern Ireland First Minister Arlene Foster, that she was having an extramarital affair, and he was ordered to pay £125,000 in libel costs.
I hate the phrase.
I don't know why he flirted with that side of it. I don't know why he said that. He started a GoFundMe.
So he'd go around libelling people?
Well, he started a GoFundMe after he was ordered to pay £125,000 in libel costs to Northern Ireland First Minister Arlene Foster. I'm looking at the GoFundMe here, and it's he's asking for 15 grand here. Maybe the amount got knocked down, but 15 grand here, and 10,000 has been raised. Some of these people. Oh,
if I was Arlene Foster when that ruling came down, I'd be releasing a statement with full of puns. Looks to me like the only embarrassing body here.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Christian. But he did
amazing. All these poor people chucking in 20 quid.
I'm not being funny, and I'm not going to I don't know the name of the person, but obviously they've been on telly and so it's in the public domain anyway.
Yeah.
But I saw I caught an episode of Embarrassing Bodies when it was on, probably even 10 years ago, maybe something like that. And there was a guy on it whose belly was massive, but it had sagged down like that.
Oh, so you could like tuck it in your trousers?
It was sagged down so much that it was generating such warmth that it was cooking his own testicles. And I promise you I'm not making
Was it cooking his own testicles or it was just getting a bit warm down there?
That's what they said.
Cooking his testicles.
It was cooking his testicles.
That's the wrong word to use. Not cooking
what would you use?
It's just warming them up. They're not reheating them. Like, you can't just, like, your body is your body. It's only 37 degrees.
No, but the testicles hang outside the body for a reason, right? They need to stay at a certain temperature. That's why they're cooked out there.
Yeah, but it's not cooking the testicles. It's cooking the semen. It's warming the semen to a point where it's just. And to be honest, you know, if you're the sort of person who has, like a big kind of theatre style curtain over the front of your testicles, like, I mean.
Big reveal.
Big, it's just enjoyable, isn't it?
Safety net.
Ta-da.
Safety
you can sort of pull up the belly and it could be like that other TV show where they show off your winky.
Okay, have you returned that? Oh, yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
That's a really that's naked attraction.
Naked attraction, yeah.
Why is that happening?
You've always got to have something like that. It used to be Eurotrash, now it's just horny people being weird.
At least Eurotrash didn't take itself too serious.
No, that is true. That is true.
If you were telling the story about the man who had the belly over his testicles, how would you have termed it?
He has created his own dance of the seven veils, but instead of seven veils, it is one big belly.
Listen, I'm not trying to shame the guy. It's not for me. I'm just saying it was an interesting storyline in that show. And if you're going to talk about naked attraction, I personally find that absolutely bizarre. I kind of understand that they. So, Pete, here's one for you.
Right,
naked attraction.
Yeah,
and shows like Road Wars. Right.
Which one's Road Wars?
It's basically where they've just put a camera on a vest of a police officer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they just show what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now, ostensibly, they don't seem like they've got much in common, but they do, because what they're doing is they're hiding the fact that people just want to gawp at stuff behind faux social responsibility.
Yes.
So they're saying, oh, no, naked attraction is really important because it shows normal bodies on telly.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to be worried about. Yeah, fine, it is that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's a fucking sideshow.
Yeah.
It's a freak show.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I don't really care about security practices at airports, but I will watch hours and hours of the Australian border security services taking herbs off Chinese people.
They are very strict.
They are very strict.
Extraordinarily strict.
I mean, some of the herbs, you sort of go, guys, like you're flying into Sydney, they'll have a Chinatown, and a lot of it's just ginger. You can get ginger everywhere, mate. Don't worry about it.
Is that a powdered elephant tongue?
No, it's not even that, but it's just like thyme, and they're just like bringing normal herbs over the limits.
I've seen it a lot.
It's bizarre.
But the amount
that's coming over the border is incredible.
And why, you never really see like a someone who's a little bit Australian.
Right.
Either.
Yeah. No.
It was really Australian.
Yeah. Especially people who work abroad and border.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're basically like kind of a version of a not as good police officer.
Yeah.
On the Road Wars thing, the way they get away with it is it's almost like they're subconsciously saying to you, we know you just want to watch a police officer chase a bloke with a knife and wrestle him to the ground.
Yeah.
Or you want to watch a 5-car pile up. But what they do, the way they get around it is they go, check out this idiot driving 150 miles an hour down this residential street and crashing into this parked car and flipping the car 15 times before it explodes in the ball of flame.
In front of Luke Moore's house.
And at the end, they just go, don't forget the speed limits are for a reason. And that's how they get away with it. That is how they get away with it.
Well, I mean, speaking of naked attraction, I mean, it is just a load of people who want to show off their bodies, isn't it? It's just a load of people who are exhibitionists.
Yeah, I don't. When I say it's like a freak show, I don't mean they're freaks. I'm not trying to be rude about them. I'm just saying it's an extension to Victorian sideshows.
But they're also. But the people who are doing
it. They're not always ripped or anything, though.
No, but you can. I think, you know, it doesn't. That's not exclusive to ripped people who just want to show off. Exhibitionists, like, you know, they want to show off. Like the guy, Minneapolis International Airport, last week, 44-year-old man. Is charged with threatening workers at the St. Paul International Airport. He swung a stanchion line post before throwing it at agents. He took his clothes off and he masturbated. He said it was a free country.
Yeah, but crucially, it's a free country for other people as well, isn't it? Who shouldn't have to see you masturbating yourself.
Shouldn't have to see you masturbating, shouldn't it? No.
I love the idea of that kind of libertarian underpinning of things that people do. Like, oh yeah, but it's, you know, we shouldn't have people interfering. We should all be free to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that everyone's idea of freedom in quotes is different
isn't it? Yeah.
And as soon as it takes one step into the real world, you're impinging on someone else's freedom, so we have to have a compromise.
If I'm angry, that's the last thing I'm doing. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Dethroned.
What's the first thing you're doing?
Derobing and...
You're a bit of a stormer offer.
No, I'm a argue my point clearly, concisely.
Mm.
Storm off.
Yeah.
And then come back 30 seconds later because I've forgotten to make one point.
I agree with part of that.
And then storm off again, come back and go, and another thing. Storm off, come back, and another thing.
Big Pav once, I'm going to try and find it.
Yeah.
Big Pav, who you'll know for if you're a regular listener to this stuff, he once sent a screenshot of a diagram he'd done on a notepad of what I was like in my different moods.
Right, okay.
And it's called Luke's Mood Scale.
Yeah.
You can see he did it in June 2020.
Let's have the list.
So it goes from, obviously, one extreme to the other. So I'll start with the positive. So when I'm in the best mood through to when I'm in the worst mood.
Yeah.
Best mood starts with self-promotion.
Yeah, right, yes. True. Yeah.
Jovial.
Yeah. Banterous, yeah.
Chatty,
yeah.
Abuse.
Yeah.
Then down to anger.
Yeah.
Then down to I'm done. And then finally for now, silence.
Silence. Yeah, that's fair.
So from self-promotion to silence, I do the whole gamut and I can go up and down.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I'll leave you to think about that while we have a break because we've run way over time, I think.
We bloody hell.
We'll do a break. When we come back, we'll do a try and squeeze in at least one email, possibly two if we can, depending on how good it is. We don't check them ahead of time very, very well. See you in a minute.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It's a Monday, and if you would like to get in touch with the show, touch the sky with your words, It's hello@lunkpitchshow.com.
Have you run out of words?
I think so.
You're starting to run out of words. Yeah.
Although I'm feeling better than I ever am when we used to record because I got up a little bit later.
Oh, nice.
It's a real bind getting up at like 6:30 to get into to do Luke and Pitcher on Monday.
Did you accidentally move 100 miles away from the office?
Yeah, that's what happened, isn't it?
Was there something at the back of your mind thinking, there's a reason I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
I was in early doing the ramble this morning, so I I was up at 7.
With Spelzy. He's got a new donkey jacket.
He has.
Very disrespectful at the cenotaph.
He got it. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Do you remember when they measured how much Corbyn bowed?
Yeah,
at the cenotaph, and then Boris Johnson turns up in a bin bag.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. And we will come on to emails.
Yeah,
but Marcus got a new donkey jacket. He got it from a charity.
The left
shop.
And Marcus have to be more circumspect.
Marcus got it from a charity shop, and it looks fucking brand new. He's done brilliant out of that. It's a brilliant bargain, and he's rightly proud of it.
Yeah,
yeah. This is the thing about the right wing. And you, I know you're as left as they come, Pete, but you have to admit this, they're fucking good, aren't they?
They are good.
The freedom
that they managed to chisel away for themselves.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They set the rules of the game. They set the rules of the game, and to the point where when you actually manage to land a hit on them through Tory sleaze, and that's usually how the Tories leave power because they just their pockets become too full and their pockets burst and everyone can see what's in there.
They collapse under their own
weight of naughtiness. I'm always astonished. It's like, what? You're getting annoyed about this thing?
Of course they are.
The thing that most politicians do.
They're setting the rules of the game.
Jobs for the fucking boys.
Yeah, they set the rules of the game. And it happens here in the US, and the Pinkos, they play the game.
Yes.
And they don't understand. And they say, oh, well, we always lose. Yeah, you always lose.
Because you're playing the game.
Because the absolutely malevolent fucking people who will do anything to get ahead have set the rules of the game, and you are playing the game. It's incredible. So yeah. It happened in the US. Your Jeremy Corbyn thing is a great point. The American equivalent is when...
It's the tan jacket.
So little was happening in the US that the right-wing news agencies did a big thing for days on whether it was presidential to wear a beige suit.
Yeah, yeah. And then Donald Trump. Yeah. Incredible.
Incredible. Anyway.
Here
we are now. emails, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. This is a politics-free zone. We just like to have a pop at everyone.
Yeah, we're both sides, aren't we? We're both sides.
Both sides, and that's both what sides. Some people would say is the problem. Yeah. Speaking of both sidesing it, and we will get to this email, I promise you. Talk to me about Milo.
Oh, Milo.
Very good. Remind people who Milo is and then tell us what you showed me yesterday.
One of the original grifters.
Enfant terrible.
Enfant terrible.
Basically a fucking fascist. Lying grifter.
Yeah, a lying fascist who is currently on religious TV selling. He got deplatformed, he got taken off Twitter, and people have this argument, sort of go, look, if you take them off the platform, they'll just find some other fucking rock to crawl under, and they'll be even worse than they actually are when they're part of the conversation. That's not what happened with Milo. He got thrown off Twitter, he got thrown off the majors, and now he is having to, you know, make a pot to piss in by selling on religious TV, religious kind of like, what do you call it?
He's selling bronze statues of the Virgin Mary on Christian QVC.
It's incredible. Incredible.
Is it bad that technically I thought he was quite a good presenter?
I thought he was very good as well. And he's,
not easy,
he's better than any other. He's very... The other horse that was on there, she just wasn't. She was less interested in the Mary. But he's sort of come out as ex-gay now because he's been converted. Apparently,
that's his latest grift.
Is like his conversion thing. His husband that he married not long ago has been downgraded to housemaid. Which I think is funny.
The fact that people fall for it. It's just extraordinary. anyway, that's enough about that. Yep. The deplatform thing is interesting though because I kind of instinctively, maybe because I'm a human being of a certain age, and maybe I need to revisit this, and I think I probably will, I instinctively agree that deplatforming is a bad idea. I think you shed as much light as possible on these terrible ideas, and you kind of debunk them. However...
worked in this case.
Yeah, however, I wonder if that's an old-fashioned way of looking at it. I wonder if the rules of the game have actually changed, and it also depends on how good that person is. Because if that person's good, you're causing a lot of fucking problems for yourself.
Right.
Because if they're going to out-charisma you and out-argue you and do what, I forget it was, you said it maybe Orwell, drag them down to your level and beat you on experience, you're fucked. Yeah. So
maybe nowadays their whole plan is just get as many fucking maniacs out there and you're just adding fuel to that particular fire, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Free speech does not extend to free of consequences.
Exactly right. Peter, do you want to do an email?
I'll do a quick email. Alex! Hi, Luke and Pete. You never see a bad dryer these days. Chat really struck a chord. I've been thinking about much the same not long ago, about how in my youth hand dryers usually felt like someone meekly farting onto you at best, whereas now the sheer hand-skinning distorting power has to be felt to be believed. And then I went to York. I came across this beauty in a cafe near York Minster. A real throwback from Newleck Electrical. I pressed the button, rubbed my hands together for a while, and then left after 30 seconds drying them on my trousers. Just like the good old days. I enjoyed the show, by the way. I've been a listener since Luke and Pete's summer, but for some reason had a lengthy hiatus recently. Then got back into it and have about 100 back episodes to work through. Good times. Cheers, Alex. Just two men forgetting what they've done before. So you'll probably hear the same themes, the same references over and over again.
But I think people find it comforting. You know, sometimes when you're a kid and you ask your mum or your dad to read you a bedtime story, sometimes you'd want the same story.
Oh, I must have watched Robin Hood, the Disney cartoon, like 15 times.
Yeah.
In like a month.
I read something once about a load of women of a certain age whose first crush was Robin Hood. Was he a fox in that?
He was a fox, sexy fox, yeah.
Apparently that was a real crush for people.
Yeah, that's fair, I think. He's quite feminine, boyish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also a big subculture of people who are really into Greg from Succession.
Which one's Greg?
He's like a tall, gangly, Ichabod Crane.
Oh, really? Guy, like, he's particularly stupid, isn't he?
Yeah, I kind of get the impression he's not going to be stupid forever, and that's going to be a twist.
Oh, what? He's going to be the king. At
that's
the end
just
of
my
it.
Theory.
Yeah, he's going to be left when everybody kills, when all of the sharks have eaten each other.
Yeah.
He's going to be the one who's left, the idiot's son, the idiot cousin or whatever.
Yeah. And on the hand dryers thing, what I was saying back in the day, which is why I think Alex has emailed in, is that the technology's got better on hand dryers, but I think the tactics have also got better. They don't actually dry your hands now.
Just push it off.
Yeah, like a windscreen wiper, right? Mm. And we had a load of, when we were talking about hand dryers, we had a load of people emailing saying, never do the hand dryer, always do the paper towels. Hand dryer, because although paper towels ostensibly seem like they are worse for the environment, it actually depends on the following things. One, whether the paper towel is recycled or not.
Yes.
And two, how much energy the hand dryer is using. Underpinning all that is the fact that apparently hand dryers are so unhygienic, it's unbelievable, and that you shouldn't go anywhere near them.
True. Yeah, I think that's fair.
We've come a long way since that bloke emailed in about the guy who was rubbing bread on the toilet and eating it.
At least we're washing our hands now.
Yeah.
We're a COVID-compliant podcast, I think it's fair to say. Yeah.
Hand drying them. Let's get out of here on that note. Thank you very much for emailing in. You can also do so by emailing hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We will read out our favourite emails, and you're never going to be able to predict which ones we're going to read out, because our taste is very Catholic, very broad.
Yes, it is. Yeah, correct.
Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, as I've said, @lukeandpeteshow is the social media destination. We'll be back on Thursday for another one of these. We're bloody looking forward to it. We hope you can join us. In the meantime, do us a favour and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. I know that people who do podcasts always say this, but there's a reason for that. It genuinely does help. We're an independent company. We could do with the support. So please do take the time. Take you a couple of minutes. Head to the destination you use to download the podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. You will be a friend of a Luke and Pete show forever. Thank you very much, Pete Dawson.
Ta-da, farewell.
And we'll see you on Thursday.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.